Today, I am here with inspiring mom, amputee activist, and keynote speaker, Stephanie Decker.
You're listening to the Eagles Talent Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, for speakers who inspire, educate, and entertain. You can find us online at eaglestalent.com. Remember, you can listen to our podcast on our site, eaglestalent.com, or subscribe to it on iTunes by simply typing Eagles Talent in the search.
Today, on the sixth anniversary of the horrific event that resulted in the loss of both her legs, Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, first question, your story of survival instantly made national news. You were on the Today Show, Ellen, and your family even met President Obama. Why do you think your story resonated with so many people?
You know, I think as a mom, or even as a parent, I think we all connect with the possibility of losing our children and that we would do absolutely anything to save our children. It just became one of those moments, I guess, where it was my turn to step up. It was my turn to put things on the line, and there was absolutely nothing more important than my children. And as a mom, I know when I see other stories of mothers or parents that do heroic and amazing things to save the life of their children, we just get it. As a parent, you understand that nothing is more important than your children, and you will do anything, and that includes die if necessary to save your kids.
Wow. It's that maternal instinct.
Absolutely. And I think that's, as a nation, we get that. You know, there's a lot of, you know, things in the news that we see that are horrific, but there are also a lot of good things that are going on. And when we get when there's a story of something that ends in a happy ending, we want to cherish that and hold on to that because it's important just in the family dynamic.
Yeah, so true. During your second appearance on Ellen, she said you were so well spoken. Did that plant the seed for you to become a motivational speaker?
The seed got planted actually through Eagles, to be honest. I laugh because my husband is a high school baseball coach, and he's usually the one in front of a camera talking. And I was always kind of behind the scenes, and then we flip-flopped. And I realized just when I started to speak with others and hear other people's stories, it almost just kind of felt natural that this was the way it was supposed to go, as kind of things started to kind of roll. And then, of course, with Eagles, they kept contacting me. And
persistent,
absolutely. And I'm glad they were, because, you know, I always tell my kids it took 37 years to finally figure out what I want to be when I grow up. And I love my job. I mean, it's so satisfying in so many different ways.
That's amazing. I have to ask, I know you mentioned that there was a bit of a role reversal and your husband was in front of the camera. Did he give you any tips?
No, actually, he criticized me, and then now I criticize him whenever he gets, because he says way too many ums.
Payback. So during a recent interview, you referred to your life before the tornado as being in your own little bubble. Since the accident, you challenged legislation through the Stephanie Decker Foundation. When did you decide to launch your foundation, and how has it evolved since its inception?
Oh, we've come a long way in 6 years. You know, the inception actually was when I was in rehabilitation center waiting to get home. Wow. It became pretty clear when I kept there was a window that was right beside my bed, and there was a little boy that was outside playing, and he was actually missing a leg. He was on a prosthetic, and he was trying to kick the ball. And it was one of those that it finally just clicked that, you know, we have absolutely everything in the world that, you know, our family is safe. We had insurance. We knew we were going to rebuild our home. We were in good shape. Was it stressful? Absolutely. Was it challenging, difficult? No doubt. However, we needed to figure a way to help other people at this point, because we were going to be okay. And how many of those didn't have a voice out there? there were so many that had been in a situation where there was an accident and they were looking to have a specific prosthetic and they weren't able to get it because insurance denied it. And this was our chance to actually make a change that had a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited to where it's come. You know, you mentioned meeting Mr. President. When we did, Mr. President had asked me, he goes, you know, what can we do to help you? And I told him, I said, I need this knee. The specific knee that I wear is a microprocessor knee. It can get wet. It can run. It can do everything that will give me my life back, mm-hmm. that have my kids. And it was not allowed for civilians. It was only allowed for military soldiers. And I was a firm believer that our soldiers needed it. Absolutely. Because mm-hmm. they actually went back to war with this knee. I mean, that was their jobs. They wanted to go back. But I felt it was important for me to have this as well. You know, I wanted to swim with my kids. You know, if I needed to run out in the road and save my child from an oncoming car, I just need to be able to react or jump in a pool and save my kid from drowning. I just need to be able to react and not worry about the expensive piece of metal that's attached to me. And I needed it to be able to do those things. And he, you know, in a span of a few minutes, he yelled for his secretary to come in. He goes, Anita, get in here. And he goes, write down this X3 that Ms. Decker wants. And within 6 months, it was actually on my doorstep. Wow. We were in contact with Walter Reed. They were able to finally get one approved and allowed me to use it. And then shortly after that, it really had that ripple effect we were looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, I know in the Louisville area, which is, you know, where I'm from, 4 actually went back on active duty, police officer, firefighters, EMTs, because now they were able to have this X3. They were able to do their jobs without the fear of their prosthetic not mm-hmm. working because it got wet or because they couldn't run. And it truly was amazing to see how this opened the door for so many other people. Right. And that was the goal, part of the goal for our foundation was to help amputees get to where they wanted to be in life, because we never, you just don't know, you can't expect when this may happen to you. Right. And then the other side of it, the foundation, it was to help kids. You know, I'm a mom at heart. Mm-hmm. This story obviously resonates with other parents. And I realized that there was a need for children that were missing limbs to play sports. Now, I say that, however, I think they teach me more every year when we do camp. Really? You know, they have this amazing spirit and this will to adapt. But we wanted to give children the opportunity, whether it's just 3-year-olds playing backyard kickball, mm-hmm. all the way up to a high school kid that wants to go on and play D1 baseball. We want to give that opportunity to those kids to be able to do those things if that's what they want to do. And it's actually pretty exciting because this year we'll actually host our first camp here locally. We usually go, it's about 4 hours away where we do mm-hmm. a camp, and we're actually October 20th will be our first camp that the Stephanie Decker Foundation actually puts out and hosts on its own. And we'll have some fabulous coaches from all across, you know, Southern Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky area that are just phenomenal being able to work for these kids. So we're really excited about being able to do that this year.
That's incredible. Can you tell me a little bit more about this camp and sure. what it offers?
Sure, absolutely. So what we'll do is we'll offer kids, you know, as young as kindergarten all the way up through high school, because we have kids that have come to us and said, hey, you know, I want to be able to pitch. Can you show me how to pitch? Or I want to be able to do this in basketball. Can you show me these things? And so we do a lot of one-on-one work, but mm-hmm. now we've decided to kind of put this together for 2 days and bring in as many kids as we possibly can. And we will only offer at this point just 3 different sports. We'll do baseball, basketball, and football, and possibility of track just mm-hmm. because of the locality where we'll have it. We have it available. But we have some of the former MLB coaches and players, pro basketball players, you know, football. We have so many great people in this community that really want to help and really want to help these kids. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of excited to see. And I put feelers out a few weeks ago, actually before this anniversary date, to see how many are really interested in coming. And the response was phenomenal. So I That's think incredible. Being located in the Midwest, mm-hmm. a great area to drive into, I think we'll have some success.
Oh, that's amazing. And the opportunities that you're offering for children is just phenomenal. Incredible. Sadly, natural disasters are becoming a common occurrence in America. As a survivor who believes you should find something bigger than yourself, what advice would you give to a person or an organization looking for ways to help people who are still affected by natural disasters, even after the media has maybe moved on from the story?
Well, and you know, that's funny you say that, because we're six years into this accident, and where, you know, I get the reminders from text messages from people and posts and things like that. The media is not nearly as hypersensitive to it mm-hmm. as it was 6 years ago. And that's the nature of the beast. You know, in this time that we're dealing with, you know, issues, you know, school shootings and so many sensitive subjects, we get caught up in the moment of the tragedy, but then we forget the aftermath and what the daily challenges that everyone else deals with. You know, you may forget that this happened, but we carry the scars, you know, for the rest of our lives. And that's what many people deal with in tragedies. And what we don't understand is what goes on behind the scenes mm-hmm. and behind closed doors. And my biggest thing, I guess, that I would offer is continue to reach out, continue mm-hmm. to help others, continue to find a way to share your story and experiences and heal from mm-hmm. that. You know, this, our foundation and finding something we were passionate about really helps in the healing process mm-hmm. because you realize that you're not the only one. And when you can connect with other people that have mm-hmm. stories that are horrific and maybe don't have as great of outcomes as ours has, you have to find a way to go on. And usually that comes in finding a passion that you can, and a legacy that you can leave to help change the world and make that ripple effect of change.
Right. So true. For those who may be interested in getting involved, how can people get involved with the Stephanie Decker Foundation?
Oh, very easy. And we're always looking to get for involvement. We're looking for whether it's monetary donations or people that just want to reach out and help. I can't tell you how quickly it's grown and how much of a need there is, but you can reach me on my website, which is www.stephaniedecker.com. I'm on every social media page you can imagine. If you just Google, you can't miss it on Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, or Twitter. It's real easy to reach out to us, and we're looking for that help. We're looking to grow. We'd like to have our own facilities. That's something that's our long-term goal and what we really are looking forward to doing, and we hope that we kind of get to that point. So anybody that can offer that help or assistance or guide us in any way, we're obviously looking for that.
And we'll definitely share all that information in the links for anybody that's interested, anybody that's listening and wants to get involved.
Okay, great.
I know that, I mean, as you mentioned, sports play a huge role in the Decker family. So I have to ask, with the 2018 Paralympics right around the corner, do you maybe have a favorite event? And if you were a Paralympian, what event would you compete in?
Oh my gosh. And that was a question I wasn't expecting. Yes, the Paralympics. So exciting. You know, so many I've become friends with now that are in the Paralympics, and I'm so excited for them. And what's funny is I actually brought my running leg in here. So if I were to compete, I would say I would probably run. Ironically, before the tornado, I can count on one hand how many days I enjoyed running. But, you know, it was the goal. It was the accomplishment mm-hmm. of being able to compete and finish. That was the glory of running for me. And I can't tell you how much I miss it. So I'm currently running now and working to actually get out and actually have a race, be able to do some of those things, even at now 43. But, you know, then the Paralympics is just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so excited. As I said, there's so many out there that I'm friends with, that I'm rooting for, and you know, I'm excited to see how so many of those will finish and right. what they will do. They're life changers.
But you mentioned before that this year you might be able to incorporate track. Will you be maybe coaching, getting involved?
Well, I'm not sure if I would be the greatest coach yet. Learning to walk on prosthetics is challenging enough in itself. Let me tell you, learning to run on them is something that's a completely different ballgame. I've learned that patience is not one of my virtues, but I had to really work on my patience because it can be very frustrating. I will bring in experts on track. They may be able to guide me, or even the kids can probably guide me more than I would be able to guide them. Basketball is probably more my sport.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That's
yes.
Great. You coached basketball at one point, right?
Yes. And I do now. I coach my kids, mm-hmm. In basketball, and I utilize my son to show the moves that I can't necessarily show, but with these running blades, I'll actually be able to play basketball again and really close to being able to get to the rim on it. The nice thing about these blades is they're like kangaroo springs, so you actually have some jumping ability, much more vertical than I ever had when I had real legs.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. So your keynote presentation has been referred to as a tale of a mother's love and a fighter spirit, and how out of diversity, a mission to help others was born. What steps did you take to evolve as a speaker, and what's next for your speaking career?
Oh, wow. And I've really evolved. You know, that's funny. From where I first started to where I am now, it's not the same person. You know, the story may be the same, but the way I present and just the way it's become part of my life now has really changed. I've developed just a niche, I guess, for being a motivator. Mm-hmm. I enjoy being able to motivate others, you know, when we go through difficult times. And I really hope to, you know, expand on that and reach a larger platform. You know, this doesn't just have to be, you know, physicians or doctors or even schools and athletes. This is a bigger message that I have to share. There are so many points that you can take away from just hearing the story that I hope that my goal as a speaker is to reach those, you know, actually reach businessmen that are dealing with stressful issues and stressful jobs. Because I can relate to all of those things. And so I guess my goal would be to finally get to that point to where we're a much larger entity. We actually can reach a larger group of people.
Right. That's incredible. And it's definitely been a journey for sure. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, if you could go back 6 years and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be during that journey?
You know, I mentioned that patience was not one of my virtues, mm-hmm. and it is one that I continue to struggle with. I won't say part of that is bad, because it actually has motivated me and set the goals that I've set to get where I am. But, you know, when my accident first happened, I wanted nothing more than to have my life back 2 days ago. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was how fast could I get it and how frustrating it was to accept the process.
Right.
And the process was I could only do as much as my body would let me. And that was challenging. You know, that was difficult as not only a mother, but as a competitor, as a woman. You know, it changes your outlook and your image and your self-image. There was a lot of introspection on my part as to how I was going to grow from this. Mm-hmm. And I was hard on myself. If anything, I would have been less hard on myself and understood that, you know, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
What the flip side of that, that's a fighter mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't quit, you don't give it, you push. And I, you know, so it's kind of hard to say, I'd change too much of it, other than I would learn to accept that this is a process and you have to go through it like everyone else has to go through processes. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Right. And I think that fighter mentality is so deeply ingrained in your keynotes and your message. And I think that's part of the reason why people connect with you and resonate with you so much in your story.
Well, thank you.
So, Stephanie, I want to thank you for sitting down to chat with me. Anybody interested in getting involved with the Stephanie Decker Foundation, be sure to visit stephaniedecker.com. And if you're interested in finding out about Stephanie's speaking topics, be sure to visit her page on Eagles Talent site. Stephanie, thank you again.
Thank you.